Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. Today, I'm going to bring you something a little bit different. It's technology. It's the Internet of Things. It's security. It's all sorts of things. And I'm learning as I go because it is fun. ASX code is SP3. Company name is Spectre. Joining me today is Gerard Dyson, who's the Managing Director. He's going to unpack who are Spectre, what are they doing that's so different, and where the growth is coming from. Gerard, great to see you. Welcome to Small Caps. Given this is the first time you've had a chat with us, why not give us a brief overview of to our investor audience, who are Spectre?
Thank you, Kerry. It's great to be here. So rather than launch into the details, let me just paint a picture about what Spectre is and who it is. So imagine that you could have someone down at a remote beach, maybe in the Esperance or somewhere, that's in the middle of nowhere, that's keeping an eye on the beach, that can see what's going on when there's a surfer in the water or a swimmer, and that if there's an event, whether it's a shark in the area or something like that, can shout out and tell that person to get out of the water, and then they can come up and they can have a conversation with someone. Well, we provide the example of our safety warning systems on beaches do that. Or imagine if you had a security guard that could be on your construction site that's watching all the time. And whenever someone comes into it, whether it's late or night or early in the morning, 3 o'clock, 8 in the morning, and they walk into the site and they're moving towards your valuable goods or your valuable assets, and you're able to shout out to that person and tell them to stop what you're doing, light them up, record video of them, and then contact a security guard or contact someone else to call for help. That's another example of what we do. So we're providing these sensing, thinking, and acting platforms that do roles that people, it's either not safe for them to do or it's not possible for them to do. And we do these from solar powered platforms.
Ah, okay. I'll get into that in a minute. But before we do, because this is a technology-based business, are you taking jobs where, great Aunt Molly's nephew is a security guard. What is she going to get worried that you're taking potentially jobs away from them?
No. So we don't substitute very often, and there aren't really a lot of alternatives. What we do is we do things when the alternative was to do nothing. So you couldn't put a lifeguard on the beaches, on remote beaches, or you couldn't put them there all the time. That's just not practical. And in the cost of a security guard, it really limits them to very high value assets. And so normal value assets, there's no security guard you can afford. And even just normal security cameras, they don't stop any crime. There's no deterrence value in that. They're not talking to someone or calling someone. They're just recording a crime that's occurring. So really we're creating an ability to reduce a risk that didn't exist before. So instead of just accept the risk, now you can actually do something about it with a really good return on investment.
What's the really good return on investment? Because the capital cost of doing this is pretty good.
Well, what's guided a lot of our investment is 10x. If you can get a 10x, then you'll get people to do things differently. The statistics that we were gathering around construction site crime seemed to suggest that the average event was about $30,000. There was a fairly good likelihood, about 40% likelihood, that any particular construction site in a 1 year would actually be impacted by a crime event, which is a really strikingly high statistic. And yet we've found with introducing our systems that we reduce both the frequency of crime by more than 90%.
What?
It's very, very effective as a deterrent. But even when that does happen, the consequence is reduced by another 90%. Because if someone comes in to vandalize, they'll just get out quickly if they manage to get in to start with. But generally what happens is, in the security application, for example, is if someone comes in, They are lit up and they are spoken to straight away in the moment, and it's led by artificial intelligence. So this is not just false alarming all the time. We use AI to make sure it's real, and that person generally leaves.
Wow.
And so yeah, before they scared. Do the crime. So that's the difference between a security camera. I mean, lots of people do solar power security cameras. That's a great business, but it doesn't stop any crime. What stops things is some active deterrent to that particular individual, and that's what our systems do. And if you just have a simple motion-based one, it's so full of false alarms, you have to switch it off. You can't use it. So our being able to leverage AI lets us take the false alarms out so we can be a real deterrent. No one else does it.
First of all, how do you leverage AI for your business, number one? And number two, where did the idea for Spectre come from? Was that something where somebody came to you guys and said, look, these security cameras are okay, but if we could, you know, 10x it and make it much more interactive, gosh, that would help. I mean, where's the idea come from?
Yeah. Well, so there's kind of two questions in there. So maybe I'll answer the first one first around AI. We provide a unique fog computing platform. And to sort of get through the lingo on that, fog computing means we use the cloud, but we also use the edge. And so we've got a combination of processing that happens right out in the field where the camera is, and also in the cloud. And so, for example, is we are constantly searching for motion with the camera on the edge using the motion detection algorithms that we have there. And then when we see motion, with our latest technology, is we determine whether that motion is from a person or a vehicle, for example. And only then we start sending imagery and notifications back to the cloud, where we do more advanced AI. And we've been doing things like counting people, recognizing vehicles, all of those sorts of things, and just confirming what we've seen there before we send an alert out to an individual or a security guard. And what that does is it reduces the false alarms a huge amount, because we've got first filter AI and second filter in detail in the cloud. But also it means that the cost of data is a fraction, because every other system that is out there, when it gets motion, it starts sending alerts, and that starts streaming data, and that costs money. And so instead of sending all this data through the 4G network, I mean, you can just imagine what happens if you were streaming a video in high definition for, you know, 8 hours a day. What's that going to cost you in your phone bill? I mean, this is what we stop by having this fog computing. So that's really the long-winded probably answer to. We use AI on edge with our custom platform, which no one else can do, and we combine it with cloud AI.
When you say, which no one else can do, is this a patented process that you've got?
We do have a number of patents. What we have at the moment is, really a first mover advantage that is quite difficult to replicate. Because what we do is, this is like the tricky technical bit, so stop me if I'm getting a little bit too jargony, is we combine our unique hardware with unique software. So we write our own hardware and software to optimize power consumption and data consumption. Now, if you're plugged into the wall and you can just plug in and get infinite data from my unlimited plan, and I can plug into the wall and get unlimited power, things are easy. But if you're sitting outside, powered only by the sun, you can't have huge processors and lazy code, because that just uses up too much power. And you can't keep it simple and just send everything to the cloud, because it uses up too much data. So we've optimized our hardware and our software to use the smallest amount of power and the smallest amount of data. And you can't do that with just one. You can't just do it with code. You can't just do it with hardware. You've got to do it with both. And there's no one in the market that does that at all. And that allows us to do more things than other people can, because we've effectively got more, we can get more power out of what's available. And, we have the ability to do more things on the edge because we have more power there than everyone else would have to do in the cloud, and that would just cost too much.
Okay, so I get that. I understand that. I just want to ask this one question quickly before we dive into the investment case here.
Yes.
Where did the idea come from? I mean,
So the company started, was founded by a gentleman called Richard Wilkins, a very, very experienced, very capable engineer, and it started out as You Watch It in 2009. And I think they spent probably 3 or 4 or 5 years working on security camera systems and warning systems that were inside houses. It was like a B2C business, and really looking at modifying mobile phone technology to do this. And I think they, you know, they struggled along, and they tried a few things, but where it sort of flipped was there was a view, well, what if we put it outside on a solar panel? And they were the first people, you know, they were the first people to do this. And they clicked onto it, and then all of a sudden things started to move to the point where the company listed in August of 2017. And, you know, had very substantial rise. And really, it spawned a whole lot of imitators along the way.
Yeah.
And probably that, if I was to, you know, I guess reflect on what Spectre did at that particular point in time is, whilst I think listing was a great idea, we probably should have, this is before my time, raised more capital and pushed into the market more, because we didn't move fast enough to totally dominate the market. And you know, that's a bit of a shame, because now we've brought in, you know, other competitors. But that's where, you know, we're always ahead of everyone else because of our early mover advantage. And other people have really just bought in third-party technology, usually from China, which they've integrated with using that software to provide an alternative system, but it's not optimized in the way ours is. No one's using the fog computing model that we are, and the ability to add on.
And is that, sorry, Jared, is that the part that you've protected, the fog computing side of things?
Well, it's protected insofar as we have more than 20 million hours of experience doing it, and we have a unique hardware platform that no one else has. And we have software that we've written and our code, which is protected, that no one else has. So in theory, someone else could try and do it. I mean, fog computing is not a unique concept. It is, you know, I wouldn't say it's bleeding edge, but it is cutting edge technology. But there's no one in our space that's doing that at the moment. And our emphasis, rather than sort of getting numerous patents and stouching it out with lawyers, is we're just going to move faster than others do, add more functionality, create more value, and bring more customers in, which is, you know, really sitting behind why we're growing as rapidly as we are.
Okay. Now, right now, you're very strong in WA. That's where the business has started. You've got a strong presence there. From an investor point of view, what are you're working with government? What are the areas you're working with? How big is that sector? And how much penetration have you got right now? So what I'm looking for is, where's the growth?
Yeah. So, I mean, you make a good insight in that, you know, we have spent probably the last 18 months really trying to push harder into the eastern states, and we've had great success. But at the same time, we keep growing WA as well, which is, you know, ironic. So we still are at about 50% in Western Australia. But when you consider that Western Australia makes up, you know, about 10% of the population of Australia, and that, you know, maybe we've got 30% market share in WA, maybe it's a little bit more, maybe it's a bit less, but if you just do the math on that and say, if all we did was get the same level of penetration we have in WA in the rest of Australia, you know, that's a five bagger on our current revenue. You know, we'd be looking at 25 plus by doing nothing else except getting the penetration that we have in WA.
So how are you going to do that? How are you going to penetrate the eastern markets?
Yeah, so
by the way, we're all locked down over here in the east.
Well, and you know what? And that's great, because if you ever needed someone out there that's watching all the time and making decisions and acting when you can't be there, that's when you need Spectre. This world that we're coming into is a world that needs Spectre more than ever. Because if you're a construction manager, you can't get to five sites. You can't get to one site now, but you can see what's going on.
Yeah, but how are you going to penetrate that market? How are you going to get into the eastern market?
So over the last 12 or 18 months, we've invested a lot in an outbound sales team. We have, at the moment, we have, you know, four on the eastern states, whereas before we had very few. And what they've been doing is really focusing on building relationships in our key sectors of government, utilities, building and construction, and some in other, you know, big key institutional customers. And the fruits of that labor are now starting to pay off. So when you build outbound relationships with big institutions, they don't just say, hey, that's great, I'll buy 100. You start having the conversation, you do trialing and the like. And what we've seen, for example, in the telco space is we've gone from trials to one or two, to three, to 15, to 45. You know, what we've got in front of us in our pipeline. Now we've got multiple customers in the telco space that we're working with. You know, this is really, you know, this is the sort of thing that it's not a flash in the pan. It's an investment approach. It's building relationships, which then become account management and real, you know, expansion of the offering. And that's really what you're seeing is this maturing that's occurred over the last 2 years. And it's the fruits of outbound sales management. And I believe that our sales team we have now is good for 20 or 25 million. I don't think we need to add to it. It was absolutely at face value. It looked like we had too many salespeople a year ago, but that was very deliberate because I wanted sales to drag the rest of the organization along. And that's what's happening now. And you know, we're scaling up an engineering group and we're looking at our production capacity as well.
Jared, you became MD in when was it? July
2019.
Yeah. So 2 years in the job. What's your focus as managing director? Are you looking at scaling through sales? Because again, what I'm looking for is the investment case. Why investors need to sit up and take a look at Spectre right now. You said already that you have got some unique products in there that others can't replicate because of your coding, etc. But where's the scale up? What are the challenges and what are the opportunities for you now that you've been there for 2 years?
Yeah, so I mean, very much I've been focused on the strategy of the organization and the longer term direction. There's obviously been a lot of other operational things we've been working on in terms of sales and engineering and technology slate. But the things that I think are really exciting for Spectre today is we have a very large accessible market. You know, we just had a little conversation about going 5 to 25, but that's with the do nothing. We are in very limited niches at the moment. Government utilities, building and construction. If we expanded across sectors, there's more. We're at the moment, we're providing security, safety and warning solutions. But already we've been working with other third-party AI companies to provide broader smart city opportunities off our solar platforms and also other sensor companies to bring in broader IoT sensing in as well. So that increases the size of offerings outside of or within security, safety and warning, but also other things outside of that. And then we've been really experimenting a lot with our partner, our joint venture company, in fact, in New Zealand. We've been learning about how do we support a country outside of Australia. Right. And that experiment's been tremendous in terms of, you know, really working through, you know, some of the teething challenges you get. And that will position us in the next, whether it's 12 or 18 or 24 months, to be looking at, you know, potentially broader international expansion as well. So you start to put a number of orders of magnitude on the potential accessible market and the growth. So there's huge growth. And I think the other thing that goes with that, that's very exciting, is we have no direct competitors. Now, I've harped on it a little bit before and we've spoken about it, but if you just look in other spaces, there are people that operate in AI and there's people that do solar powered cameras and there's people that do sensing, but the platform that we're building right now, which integrates those things together, we believe is quite unique. And we've had a very good look around. And you know, that's part of, you know, our growth plan is we've got a good organic story, but we're looking for the right acquisitions that we can also bring in that will accelerate that story. And it's that story that we want to accelerate. And when we've looked for people that look like us, we can't find them. And we've looked around the world.
And you've looked globally, but right now you see the growth from an investor point of view, somebody saying, look, I want to come and take a good look at Spectre. What are your numbers looking like at the moment? Are you profitable?
Yeah. So, you know, right now we've got a run rate of recurring revenue of $3.2 million. That comes in that, you know, that's rentals and subscriptions that, you know, that happens before we get out of bed at the start of every month almost. Okay. You know, we finished the year with 5.2, but we were doing 1.8 in the last quarter. So, you know, you do the math on that. That's, you know, run rating at 7.6. So we've got good revenue. Our gross margins are healthy. Generally, we haven't got the exact details out, so I won't say the exact number yet. But historically, they've been around 50%. So you join the dots on that. So good, healthy gross margins. We've got more than $1.5 million cash in the bank. We've got a debt facility that we have not drawn at all of another $1.5 million. So we're capitalized to do quite a lot at the moment. We do have that high margin recurring revenue stream, and we've got more than $4 million in our pipeline, our weighted pipeline of projects that are out there in front of us. So there's never That's been true. A healthy time. And then just to add it all, top it all off, we've got a market cap of 9 mil. I mean, it's just crazy. If you look at any sort of multiple, forget all of our project revenue, just look at our recurring revenue of 3.2 million. And you're saying that a 3x multiple is appropriate on recurring revenue. So at some point, people are going to, you know, there's a history in the stock. And yeah, I get it. But now we've reset the strategy over the last 2 years. And, you know, we are building momentum right now. It's a great time to be in Spectre. We've got a great team. We've got a great product slate. We're capitalized, you know, and we've got a plan.
Nine mil. Right. We're running out of time, Jared. I just want to ask you this final question. Everyone knows, I always ask it, three reasons why our investor audience should be putting their hard-earned cash into ASX SP3.
Okay. Very large accessible market, almost no direct competitors at all, and tremendously undervalued right now.
My final comment to you is, do you guys as management, do you have skin in the game?
Yeah, we do. We do. I mean, I've bought all my skin in the game on market. So okay. I think I'm sitting at number 11 on the register by buying through on market and also through the raises that we've done and as does other membership. And we do have the board. I think all of our board is invested as well. And, you know, I also have a long-term incentive that, you know, when the business delivers on the results that will make all shareholders happy, then I'll get a little bit more skin in the game as well. But, very motivated.
Working for the shareholders, Jared, that's what we like to hear. As you say, 9 million market cap, 3.2 million in recurring revenues. Seems a little bit unbalanced at the moment. So I'm really pleased.
Oh, it's crazy.
Bring our the Spectre story to our investor audience. And I hope you all enjoyed that. ASX code, as I said before, SP3. Check them out. Also check out in the stories on Small Caps. Jared Dyson, Managing Director of Spectre, thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kerry.